Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is David Gibbons, President at UPMC Hammett. Welcome to today's Business Spotlight. As we continue our year in review series for 2022, along with a look forward to 2023, as UPMC Hammett is in this edition. And as we do every year at this time, we sit down with David Gibbons and we take a look back at the accomplishments and challenges from the year that was 2022. And we will also break down what to expect from UPMC Hammett in the new year. And now let's bring in the president of UPMC Hammett, David Gibbons. David, thank you so much for being with us. We say it repeatedly, but we really do enjoy these look forward slash year in review programs as we get to find out what's on the horizon for UPMC Hammett in 2023, but also take a look back to the year that was. So starting with that theme, the pandemic, while not completely behind us, today, it's not the threat that it was for so long. What were the lessons learned from COVID-19?
The lessons learned were, first and foremost, it was realization and just a deep, deep respect for the Hammett team, frontline staff, physicians, the entire team that stood together and were so resilient during that time and continue to be resilient during this day, always putting the patient first and ensuring that they were caring for each other. And I think that is just a remarkable statement. And I would also add that UPMC as a system provided tremendous resources for us that enabled us to function as a system and work collaboratively. So as we had a patient influx at, let's say, for example, Hammett, my team from Northwest or Horizon, Jamison, Chautauqua, we could maneuver staff and they volunteered to provide assistance here at Hammett or at Northwest or any one of our other hospitals. So I think one of the takeaways really for the community is we work together as a system, which was very important. And we also worked together as a community. Dr. Clark, Mary Eckert, and I, the leaders of the other health institutions, John Gennaro from the VA, we worked very, very collaboratively. We had daily phone calls, weekly phone calls, really aligning resources and support really to the community at heart.
David, it goes without saying, over the course of the last couple of years, several times on this program, you've talked about how proud you are of your team at UPMC Hammett. And not that you have to, but I think it would be great if you could give one example of something that they've been asked to do that goes above and beyond their calling during the course of these last couple of years in dealing with COVID-19. And I also want to get your thoughts on something you just brought up, and that's the synergistic effect of the other UPMC entities and what it means overall to our region.
Oh, excellent questions. Let's start with the first, with the just, you know, some heartfelt stories from regarding the Hammett team. One is our medical ICU at the time during the height of COVID. Every patient that we had in the medical ICU required proning, meaning that the patient had to be lying on their belly, and we typically lower the head of the bed so that the fluids and things drain, and they're on a ventilator, very, very complex positioning of the patient. And the incredible medical ICU team developed a process. We have overhead booms in the new patient tower that automate some of this process, and they developed a process to simplify it, and they adopted it, and it made their jobs much, much easier, and most importantly, was really better for the patient. So imagine a team having to flip the patient over on a ventilator, right? It took an army of people who are all, in their garb of, gowns, masks, gloves, et cetera, And that was really just a proud moment of their innovation. And, you know, they're doing this while caring for people who are extremely sick. And the emotional toll that that took on the staff was just still is impacting staff. And that, you know, it's heartbreaking, but I saw acts of innovation. I saw support for each other across every department. It was not exclusive to the medical ICU. It was in every single department. And it brought the Hammett family closer. And I think that's a great segue into how we work as a system. So again, there are many functions at UPMC that are managed that don't require management at the local hospital, right? Supply chain. We have a supply chain here, but it's coordinated on a system level. So if we saw that we needed more masks at Hammett, we simply, from our warehouse in Pittsburgh, provided those masks, as we do to every hospital, even the furthest hospital away, which would be out in our Harrisburg region. That's how the system works. And I would also add that the supplies, that's the easier side of the equation. It was the clinical knowledge and the world-class expertise. So Dr. Graham Snyder, who leads infection prevention and epidemiology at UPMC, on a daily basis, and at the beginning, sometimes three times daily, all of the leadership teams from every UPMC hospital participated on a Teams meeting, just like we are using today, a video conferencing platform, to provide updates and receive reports. So we were coordinated across the 42 hospitals of UPMC, and we were implementing consistent practices on the information that we had at that time. As we know, those practices change multiple times. Sometimes even during the same day, you know, CDC was making a new recommendation, et cetera. But that's how we worked as a system. And I think, you know, I don't know if the community really recognizes that, but it was a very coordinated effort with, you know, world-class physicians who are researchers in this field. It was just remarkable.
David, there's been a lot of talk lately on the news about what's been referred to as a triple-demic, the lingering effects of COVID-19 and the new variants, the flu and RSV. In the question to open the program, there was a part in it about how COVID-19 is not the threat that it once was, but it's not in the rearview mirror like everyone would hope that it would be, correct?
No, it's definitely not in our rearview mirror. We've learned a tremendous amount of information regarding COVID. And, you know, it's a virus. It will be here just like influenza and other viruses. But what we are seeing is the benefit now of people being vaccinated. So the severity of illness has really decreased dramatically. Yes, we still have patients. You know, we have patients in the hospital across UPMC in each of our hospitals who are COVID positive. They require a little extra care, but the number of patients that were in the ICU at the beginning of the pandemic is certainly a fraction of what it is today. And again, that's a result of vaccinations, better education regarding masking, distancing, staying at home if you feel symptomatic. Those things are very important. And at UPMC hospitals, we require masking. And it's really first and foremost to protect the staff and then to protect the patient and the visitors.
How has COVID-19 impacted the UPMC hospital system or changed healthcare going forward?
I think it's important to share that it's changed healthcare. It's transformed healthcare, and there's really no looking in the rearview mirror because healthcare is very different today than it was pre-pandemic. That is a fact. We've created different models of care. We've expanded the utilization of telemedicine. We have shorter hospital stays. We're looking at services very differently. For example, how we, you know, provide physical therapy. We became much more aggressive during the pandemic and now post-pandemic to using a new service of a mobility tech. So we have mobility techs here who are specially trained patient care techs who their sole job is to work with the incredible nursing team to get the patients up out of bed into a chair, help them ambulate. And that's really having an impact on the length of stay. The consumer's perception of healthcare has changed, and it's moving more toward an outpatient ambulatory setting and you know, reducing the utilization in the hospital. And that's not going to change. And, you know, I say we have apps now, MyHealth and other apps that we use to access care, virtual visits. It is truly the future.
David, I know that many of your service lines experienced rapid growth and advancement this year. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Sure. We have. We've seen, you know, record numbers regarding from the emergency department to physician offices to just across the board. And, you know, we are moving staff. We are adjusting accordingly. But we've also seen, you know, some milestones here during this time that I think are quite worthy of sharing. You know, we performed our 1,000th TAVR, which is a transcatheter aortic valve replacement, a much less invasive way of treating cardiac illness. And that is just tremendous. And we've added specialists, so we've added capacity and physicians, and also our advanced practice providers, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, all of which have made a tremendous impact on the care and have helped us to accommodate the growing demand.
Last year, you opened the new patient tower, the largest construction project in Hammett's history. Tell us the significance of that project in relation to the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the timing of that was remarkable. And like other businesses or, you know, residential construction, we faced the same challenges of supply chain, you know, shortages. And also, we had a team that was, you know, 250 construction workers on site that each had to practice masking, distancing, et cetera, and quarantining if they were symptomatic. So it was a challenge, I will tell you, but I am so proud of that team, you know, our partners externally from construction through our internal team, because we opened that tower months ahead of schedule. And we did that because we needed the hospital beds for the patients at that time with COVID. So we expanded our ICU capability at Hammett from 42 beds to 64 beds, which is our current number of intensive care unit beds for the adult population. We have a neonatal intensive care unit that is a 24-bed unit, but for the adult population, we went from 42 to 64 beds. And we have the ability in other spaces to use the space for ICU beds should we need to surge above that. Our friends at the Department of Health have been just tremendous partners in, you know, helping us receive the appropriate approvals. And I can't say enough about the Pennsylvania Department of Health and their ability to help us navigate, you know, all the approvals needed during a pandemic when people were quarantined, you know, across the nation. They really stood up and helped us. Our business, you know, certainly the utilization of the ICUs is growing, and it's pretty incredible. And we've continued to recruit intensivists who are physicians specially trained, who manage and run the ICUs. And it's just a remarkable story.
David, your capacity, especially with your ICU beds, was pressured during the height of COVID. But it never got to the point where it was unmanageable. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it was definitely, let's put it this way. It was, we had an incredible team with all the resources. I would say the staff are certainly well-trained. The stressors really were the volume of patients coming in who were so acutely ill. And again, I identified our medical ICU team, and that wasn't the only place where COVID patients were. Our fifth floor here, we turned units into negative airflow units. Every patient treated at Hammett was in a negative airflow unit or room. But it, you know, it took a tremendous toll on staff emotionally, mentally. It took an emotional toll. And, you know, again, having the strength of the system, our safe harbor, our outpatient behavioral health program, they were there every step of the way to check in with the staff after each shift on site, providing support and counseling for our team. And, you know, the Hammond Health Foundation always at our side, provided therapy dogs, chair massages, the, you know, food, snacks, the list goes on and on. But it showcased the ability and that UPMC and UPMC Hammond work together as a team and a family.
Great examples, great stories to hear about how the UPMC Hammond family takes care of its own. Good stuff. I know that UPMC Hammond is referred to as a tertiary hub. Explain to our listeners what that means.
So we continue to expand healthcare access in northwestern Pennsylvania and in New York as we have UPMC Chautauqua. So Hammond is the hub, the tertiary hub. And I'll give you an example. Kane extends Hammett's physician specialists and remotely delivers care there in consultation via telemedicine. So our physicians here care for patients in Kane via telemedicine, and they travel in, you know, in person as well. Northwest, which is in Seneca, and Chautauqua, which is in Jamestown, New York, they benefit from Hammett specialty providers as well. So all the specialists that we have at UPMC Hammond, many of these communities don't have the volume to support a, let's say, a thoracic surgeon. The thoracic surgical program is here. We have clinics that occur in those communities via telemedicine or in-person visits from the thoracic surgeon. But the actual surgery, the very high level of care is performed here. And then the patient can be managed in the community where they live post-operatively or post-procedure. UPMC Horizon in Greenville, again, they're doing an incredible job of, you know, advancing their care as well. But many of our specialists practice there. So we're able to share the valuable resources of a specialist here and their team, and they, you know, again, provide that coverage. And we've established clinics in Meadville and Bradford and Warren, and our specialists really practice out of those clinics to provide the tertiary level of care in those communities that cannot be provided because the volumes just are not there. You know, I use the example of if you require thoracic surgery, you want a surgeon who performs those procedures regularly, not 3 a year, 4 a year, because volume does raise the quality of care because you're doing the procedure over and over again, repeating it, perfecting it. And the team, not only, it's not just the surgeon or the physician, it's the entire team that have been trained to support that specialist.
Well, David, one thing that has certainly come up the last couple of years when we've been doing these year-in-review programs has been staffing. And with staffing shortages everywhere in just about every industry you can think of, how is your staffing situation and what is UPMC Hammond doing to recruit and retain employees?
That's an excellent question. And I would go so far to say that the majority of hospitals throughout the nation right now are very challenged with staffing. And, you know, I applaud our nursing team here under Jim Donnelly's leadership. We had the foresight to create a school of nursing during the pandemic. And next Friday, a week from today, our first graduating class will take place. We'll celebrate their success and completion of the program. And as we say, we are creating pipelines. We are expanding the enrollment at the School of Nursing. We created a surgical technology program in collaboration with the Erie Community College. We continue to train and challenge the norm, and that pipeline is extremely critical. You know, we have tremendous benefits at UPMC, tuition reimbursement, loan forgiveness programs, et cetera, but we've expanded that. And we're making big investments into these schools. The School of Nursing here that we established was a $12 million investment. And that is through UPMC and again through our tremendous partners at the Hammond Health Foundation. We could not do it without their support. And, you know, despite these shortages, I would share that in the past 2 years, we've added more than 40 new physicians to the medical staff to fill critical voids and also expand the services that we provide. So that really is tremendous. And I just cannot say enough about that, you know, the expansion in this arena. And staffing is critical, and it will remain critical for the, you know, really the next 5 years. We don't see the healthcare industry getting out of this storm for at least 5 years. And our solution is we create new programs, and they have world-class clinical experience here while they're in training. And then we are able to hire those nurses, and the impact they will have in this community is just, it's infinite.
I'm sure it's not the easiest decision to pull the trigger on a project that has a $12 million price tag, but that one investment is going to pay huge dividends down the line.
Absolutely, it will. And I have the pleasure of visiting the school frequently, and I've, you know, even provided instruction, you know, as an adjunct faculty member there, and just incredible. The excitement is palpable. And the excitement is not only palpable at the School of Nursing, but also at Hammett as we host the students in their clinical rotations. But again, I cannot give the nursing team here under Jim's leadership and the entire nursing staff just the credit they deserve for supporting and establishing the school in a very rapid manner. And the second class began in August, and, you know, with over 100 enrollees, and it's just tremendous.
David, I know you're proud of the fact that UPMC Hammond has always had a significant impact on Erie communities. Why is that so important to you, and what can you tell us about UPMC's commitment to Erie as a whole?
I'm extremely proud. The impact that we have on a regional and local, on the local communities is really profound. In addition to unreimbursed care for those who are unable to pay, we invest significantly in programs and services that targeting those who are identified in our communities through our community health needs assessment. And we assist patients to enroll in programs for insurance coverage. These investments really, I would say, you know, that we make into the community from the simplest, you know, from health fairs and screenings, awareness programs, education and training for those at risk, particularly our youth, and prenatal and childbirth education, medical research, and student internships are, you know, just example. We provide $27 million in community benefits. That's nearly $5 million in care for those who cannot pay for it, but all of the sponsorships that we have throughout the community, investments that we've made, are just tremendous. And really, I cannot stress enough that UPMC as an organization, as a system, makes tremendous impact across our footprint. At Hammett, our annual economic impact to the region is nearly $740 million. So, you know, these numbers are tremendous, and we are engaged in many, you know, community organizations to better the community, and I think it's a tremendous story to share.
So with the program winding down today, we've talked so much about 2022, David. Let's pivot to 2023. Where is the focus for the hospital when it comes to 2023? Can you share your wish list of accomplishments that you would like to see in the new year?
Sure. No, that's great. Well, Santa, if you're listening, here's what I would like. You know, please send all the nurses you can, right? That would be great. But we're building those nurses and you know, building those programs through workforce development with our schools. So that will continue to be a top priority into 2023, is a continued focus on the pipeline for professionals and non-professionals that work in healthcare. Our School of Nursing will expand. Our surgical technology program will expand. We're looking at other programs to establish in the workforce or in arena. We will continue to improve access through, you know, physician recruitment, new services that we will add and introduce in 2023. So I'll give that as a primer. I won't spoil it yet. And we will be laser focused on access for the community and really introducing new technology platforms that provide care in a very different way. We talked about telemedicine. You know, we use apps now. I mean, it's amazing. 20 years ago, you wouldn't know what an app is, right? And now, you know, everyone uses that term. But really looking at making care more convenient. And I would also say one of the key strategies for UPMC, and particularly UPMC Hammond, and that is shared by the medical staff, by our board of directors, and by the frontline staff, is building centers of excellence. So we've introduced many, you know, the only comprehensive cardiac care center, the only trauma center, the only comprehensive stroke center, the list goes on and on. And we will, that is our commitment to the community, to continue to expand those programs. And in all honesty, that's what makes recruitment easy at Hammond. When you know, you're a magnet designated hospital, you have all the, we call them the COEs, the centers of excellence. It's very inspiring to a potential candidate that would consider employment here. And it's our commitment first and foremost to the level of quality and safety that we deliver.
Well, David, if there's one drawback to these year in review / looking forward to the new year editions of Business Spotlight, it's that they go too fast. And that is definitely the case again today with this edition featuring UPMC Hammett. With that being said, David, the floor is yours. What are your last words to wrap up 2022 and to look forward to 2023?
Well, I would say that my last words are first and foremost to my incredible team here at Hammett and 4,000 employees who make miracles happen every day. And, you know, they are there with the birth of a newborn through, you know, we have an initiative here that no one dies alone. So they're holding the hand of a dying patient and, you know, beautiful from beginning to end. And this team is just remarkable. And I cannot say that enough. Our medical staff, the care deliverers, you know, across all of our departments are just incredible. And I am reminded daily of stories that unfortunately we cannot share all of the, you know, the great stories that occur. But recently a story was brought to my attention that one of our housekeepers was, her supervisor was rounding and she approached a room and she saw the housekeeper sitting by the bedside, holding the patient's hand, crying with the patient and praying. And he, you know, the patient had a tremendous loss. Members of his family were passed. And you see a story like that, you see, you know, daily, and it just demonstrates the compassion of this incredible team. And that's, you know, that's what I want to share with the community. And I would say to wrap this up, I wish everyone a very happy holiday and a happy and healthy new year. As you are out in the party arena or family celebrations, remember the principles of masking still are very, very important with the upswing in influenza, RSV, and certainly COVID is there. But I want the community to know that we are here for them always. And in all honesty, hope they don't need our care. But when they do require it, that we are here for them.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.